The video is hilarious. There's this video, these fools on their balcony, and I use that word generously. Caleb's out there with a big stogie he's lit up. So yeah, he can't go back inside.
Bonder Briggy.
Yeah, thanks, Boogie. He's out there with a big fat Boss Hog cigar. He's puffing it and he goes, I can't go back inside because I just lit it up. And I'm like, okay. So he's looking at all the stuff blowing. Hudson's poking his head out and Tristan, they're going, ooh, and they're just making this commentary. Caleb's commentating on the weather, and I think it's a tornado, and I don't know. And then Hudson, you hear him yell, Cardinals beat the Dodgers, and they're like, woo, and they're just cheering and jumping on. I'm like, get downstairs.
I was going to say, that was my favorite part, is Caleb going, guys, I think this may be a tornado. Hey, the Cardinals beat the Dodgers.
These idiots should not be allowed to be on their own.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Said you were fast.
Holly, that's harsh.
What?
That's harsh.
Yeah. Hey, how dare you tell me to get out of the pool? That was rude and uncalled for. I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate that. It's not funny. I was thinking about coming down there a week after Father's Day. I looked at your weather forecast and went, I ain't coming.
Is it rainy again?
It's going to rain that whole freaking week.
Here's the deal with the weather.
I'm triggered.
Here's the deal. They keep saying rain, you know, it has been going to rain like for the entire first week of June. And we have had some pop-up showers, but it's not like Ben. I mean, it looked like it was going to rain all day, every day.
Okay.
To build the ark. So right now, in the last hour, it has started raining, cloudy. But overall, for the most part of the day, it's been nice.
So like Florida, that afternoon or every day in Florida, you get an afternoon rain shower.
Right.
But then the rest of the day is pretty good.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's kind of been us the last couple of days too. Actually, it's been nice. But I looked because I thought hi guys, welcome to episode 140 Designer Cornbread.
We're talking about the weather.
We can't be bothered. We have to discuss the weather. Okay, people, this is very important to our lives. No, but I
don't want out for the gorilla hail.
We have to be on the lookout at all times. No, but I did. I thought, because I realized, I'm like, oh, I don't have to come on a weekend. Because I knew, I was like, well, I can't Father's Day, you know, and then it was getting too close to 4th of July, you know, and I was just like, well, maybe, I was like, oh, wait, I don't have to come on the weekend. But I literally looked at your weather and went, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you might as well come on.
But then we're just going to sit on our butts and rot on the couch. And I can do that here.
Somewhere.
Although it's more fun with you. I'm not going to lie.
I know. Yeah, you need to, because all Ron does is work. And I've been sitting here going,
You don't have anyone to play with.
I mean, nobody to play with.
Okay.
Nobody here. There's nobody to play with.
Well.
I will say this. I am having a dinner party tomorrow.
Oh, look at you.
You know, at church, we have secret sisters, and you draw a name and that's your secret sister. And it's, you know, all quiet and hush, hush.
Yes.
But you sign up at the beginning of that. We meet once a month. We just have a little get together. We'll eat, you know, we always eat. Everybody has to eat.
You got to have a little num nums.
We got to. So, but everybody kind of signs up for a month. And they just plan it, like other people will bring stuff to other people, to bring in stuff.
Okay.
But so a couple of ladies and I have signed up for June, and we have that meeting like in a couple of weeks or so. So their husbands are coming over with them, and Ron is going to grill and...
Oh, nice.
Oh, and we're going to sit there and plan.
On a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday.
What? You are living large. No. You are living...
I have to work. I don't have to go.
I know.
Anywhere. So,
this is what is so exciting, that on a Tuesday...
I can have a
dinner. You can have people over and you can grill and like it's a weekend. That's right. I like that a lot.
Oh.
Well, that'll be super fun. Good. So, and then you guys reveal at this thing... You reveal your secret sisters.
In December we get, a Christmas gift for them or whatever. Usually we meet at the fourth Tuesday of every month, but we don't meet in November, and then we meet the first Tuesday in December.
Okay.
And that's the big reveal. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun. I just want to come and see that.
Yes, it's they have to kind of guess. Okay, it's mm-hmm. been a year. Who do you think is your secret sister? So
that's very fun.
It is. It's fun sneaking around doing stuff.
Cool. And, yes. That's your love language too, man.
It is.
You're giving one.
Mm-hmm. Here's why I like it, guys. If y'all are looking to start a ministry in your church, the truth is women need women. I mean, we just need, and it is a big. We've got now the. Text message goes off a little bit too much because everybody has to,
we all have to affirm one another. We have to make sure that we have affirmed and that you know that we heard you and we love you and we have to smiley face you.
But it is a major prayer ministry. I mean, the number of times that people come in and all very confidential of, mm-hmm. If somebody's child got caught with drugs or what, I'm just thinking the extreme.
Yeah.
They could come in that group and say, guys, here's what we're going through. Mm-hmm. And know that they're going to be covered in prayer and it's not going anywhere.
That's very precious.
So it's a mm-hmm. really great ministry. And it's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
And you would laugh this. Last month, the ladies who did it did a tea party. And we dressed up and there were hats and all that and little finger foods punches and coffee and tea. And it was really very, very nice. So
very nice. I love it. Well, that is a great idea. That's excellent. So you're just dinner partying and
my plan. Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the pool and just barbecuing on a Tuesday. I don't even know. I mean, what more could you want?
Well, life with a teacher is good. You can't afford to have the dinner party, but it's good.
It's good. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Oh my goodness. Well, I want to make sure and give a very special announcement today, even though people will hear this on Thursday, it doesn't matter. Today, Monday, June 9th, is my most wonderful, most excellent son-in-law's birthday. So I want to say a big ol' designer cornbread
happy birthday
to Joey. So we're just so blessed and grateful, and we just want to celebrate him all week long. So
that's awesome.
It is awesome. It is. It's very fun to have another birthday. I did have to ask Avery like 5 times in June.
All right. Well, you were sitting there going. You were sitting there saying that, and I'm going through my mind's Rolodex. I'm going. Yeah. It's Thatcher's birthday.
Yeah, you're like, she don't got no birthdays right now. What's that crazy lady?
And I was like,
I got another one. Yes. We got another birthday. And I knew it was June. And anyway, so yeah, I had to ask Avery. I already sent the gift down with her with Hudson when he was here. Anyway, so that's all down there. So then my brain didn't think about it anymore. But it was like Friday, Saturday the 7th. And I thought it was the 7th. And I was like, before I like, happy birthday him in the family chat and like totally confuse everyone. Let me check with Avery. And she fixed me up. So I got it now. I got it. Anyway. So that is big news. Another fun little thing. We got Hudson passed he's passed several of these, but a recent one of his bend tests. Now, for those of you who don't know welding or haven't I'm learning all kinds of things. And he sent us a picture, which was very cool. Because, it's funny how when they get older, they don't tell you about their school time as much as they used to when they were little. Uh-huh. So it's very exciting. So he sent a picture of these two pieces of metal. So what they do, they practice on a certain kind of weld for, and it's at their own pace. So that's kind of how this program works. Like they are doing other stuff along with it, but they, once you master or pass the bend test on one kind of weld, you move on to another. They get progressively more difficult and different angles and all kind of crazy stuff. Anyway, and then what they do is when they are ready to test for it, they cut out what are called coupons, which are just strips. So if you imagine like a pipe and you're welding together a pipe or something like that, they cut strips of that pipe out across that weld, and they're called coupons, and they're just kind of, you know, little strips of the metal with the weld down the middle, and then they take it over to their teacher, and he puts it on a machine that then bends it, and if there's any cracks or anything in the weld, you know, you don't pat. You just keep going, you know, you go keep practicing it, go back and do it more. But if there's nothing, no cracks, nothing, then you pass that. So he just passed one of his bend tests. So we were very proud of him.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I love it. It's like, I wish I could print that picture and stick it on the fridge like you used to do with tests, you know.
Yes, yes. Put a little gold star on top.
I might start doing that. Now he moves on to the really hard one. He said, because Thatcher was like, is this the really hard one? He said, no, this is hard. But the next one, he says, now I go on to a really hard one. So I'm like, ooh. So I'll keep you posted.
Oh, I know. Well, speaking of our Chattanooga boys and the weather that we like to talk about.
Well, those idiots, Joni. No, y'all, so, they are idiots. Idiots.
Listen, I don't know. And I'm going to say this, and Ron says, don't say that. They haven't declared it, but I'm saying it anyway because I saw the video. The boys' apartment complex, now they're fine. Their apartment is fine, their little place. But that area got hit with a tornado. Now, it's not a devastating F5 tornado. And I don't know that they've declared it, but from
It was just a very. Oh. I haven't seen anything that touched. Okay. No clouds formed.
Let me tell you what Caleb's video showed me, though.
Oh no!
So
I watched
it. They did declare. Well, there are several of them.
Oh, okay.
They declared the winds were 85 miles an hour.
Yep.
And so the one then Caleb says, they're on their third floor out on the balcony.
Y'all listen. And now stop. I'm going to let you finish the story because it's your story. But you all need to understand. You need to understand. They again, are on the third floor. And when we say a balcony, we mean a bunch of real old 2x4s that are like, it's a balcony, but it's not in its best days.
No.
It's best days. No.
It's a square.
I'm scared to go stand on it a little bit.
It's a square pallet box. How's that? Is that a better term?
I mean, but I don't know.
So they did. They have officially said they were 85 mile an hour winds.
That's true. Yes, but for sure.
So Caleb, in the video, rain was going one way and then it would go the other way. And then rain was going one way and the debris flew by another way. And then there was one that he took on the ground. He said, look at the street, and you could see the rotation in the street. So
yeah, but that's just wind. That's not the rotation. If it was a tornado, they would not.
To me, a rotation and debris.
No, it's just tornado. The wind.
Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, let her all, guys, let her. It's okay. We'll say it's a tornado. Maybe it was somewhere. I don't know.
Anyway, lots of trees down. They were without power. Mm-hmm. And then
HUD said the office of their complex got a big tree, you know, that pretty big.
Yes. Yeah.
With
yeah.
all the big trees, got a tree down on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It, Avery was saying, and then get back to the story of the idiots, because we might even post that video because they are such idiots. But Avery, cause she sent us a video a little bit before that, and she's from their window, and they're on the fifth floor, you know, but a very sturdy building. And yeah, it was just crazy. And she said 80 mile per hour winds. We were like, oh, shoot. So when we talked to her later on Sunday, she said, yeah, we were getting ready to go to church. They go on Saturday at like 5 o'clock. And we were getting ready to go. And we saw the storm was coming. And we were like, oh, you know, or the warnings went off or something. And thunderstorm, you know, warning. And they were like, well, okay, maybe we could get and go. So they got out, got down to the garage, looked out the window on the to the elevator and were kind of like, oh, well, okay, maybe not too bad. Got in their car, pulled out of their garage, just was about to pull out anyway. And she said, the rain and the wind and everything. She was like, it was just sideways. It was sideways. The traffic lights were all blowing sideways. Like, so they decided they would just swoop out back in and went back upstairs to wait it out for a little bit.
And since I am the food expert, then I got the post-storm phone calls of, hey, okay, stuff in the refrigerator.
Okay.
And they went through everything, you know, I was like, oh gosh. And then they wanted to argue with me whether they should eat the hot dogs or not. I said, no, let the hot dogs go. Just let them go.
See, this I would have just let them eat it. You're a better woman than I am. I mean, like, go ahead. If they argued with me, I'd be like, go ahead.
Well, that's why I told Tristan was like, I'll eat them. Caleb said, okay, I'm not going to eat them. I said, great. And Tristan said, I'll eat them. And I said, you're not my son. So
yeah, you do what you want to do. How long were they out of power?
A good 24 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew they were out that long. Because my son sent me the Ben test, but didn't tell me that he almost got blown. But the video is hilarious. There's this video, these fools on their balcony. And I use that word generously. On their Caleb's out there with a big stogie he's lit up. So he can't go back inside.
John Bonder Briggy.
Yeah, thanks, Boogie. He's out there with a big fat Boss Hog cigar. He's puffing it and he goes, I can't go back inside because I just lit it up. And I'm like, okay. So he's looking at all the stuff blowing. Hudson's poking his head out and Tristan, they're going, ooh, and they're just making this commentary. Caleb's commentating on the weather, and I think it's a tornado, and I don't know. And then Hudson, you hear him yell, Cardinals beat the Dodgers, and they're like, and they're just cheering and jumping on. I'm like, get downstairs.
I was going to say, that was my favorite part, is Caleb going, guys, I think this may be a tornado. Hey, the Cardinals beat the Dodgers.
I'm like, these idiots should not be allowed to be on their own. Get down off the top floor on a hill. And they're on a big ridge. They're on a big ridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, guys, please. Your mothers already have gray hairs. We don't just...
These are professional men.
I don't know. They're professional somethings. But it was such a funny video. I'll probably post it on our Instagram. I'll just do it on our little cornbread Instagram because it was so funny.
It was. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, that's our weather corner. We've now, when did we start talking here? I didn't even write down the time. Oh my gosh. That's probably been 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So,
three or five.
Well, I mean, that's been the most excitement, Holly, of my week. There's just.
your son almost getting blown away?
Out. Yeah. I mean, when school's in, I've got all kinds of stories and things that I can go off about or, you know, things that I have, you know, some sort of moment to discuss.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I literally am here alone while Ron works. And
it's so funny.
I did have a moment. I was sitting out by my pool and I'm just looking at the empty swimming pool. And I'm actually thinking about your comment last week where you said, what can we do to make it feel like summer when the kids are gone? You know, and I just started thinking about summers when I was young, and we had a private pool, several families all, you know, get together and pay memberships and this kind of thing. And, it was called Sun and Fun. And so every day, I mean, I would beg, can we go to Sun and Fun? Can we go to Sun and Fun? And, it's funny now, it's just down the street from where I live right now, but
Is it still operating?
Yeah, it's still going.
Oh, very cool.
It actually was built in 1957, and my grandfather started it with, I want to say he and his best friend, Conti, did stuff, a lot of stuff together, but this may have been with Mr. Yizer. I don't know, because they both had teenagers at that point.
Okay.
Teenage daughters. So anyway. And I can remember my granddaddy talking about, we used to have an old ice house here.
No, we didn't, but I'm sure y'all did.
Granddaddy, we had this whole ice thing. So granddaddy would hire somebody from the ice company to bring out a big old huge block of ice.
Oh my gosh.
And in the middle of July, they just go and drop it in the deep end.
Oh, nice. So,
anyway, but I was looking out at the pool, you know, and it's funny how your mind can just instantly go back to those places. And playing in the pool, there were always people there, and playing beauty shop in the pool where you know, flipped over your wedding.
Oh, yeah, you were George Washington many times. Yeah. Yes.
Sit under the slide and somebody would hold the water back, you know,
oh.
And then they'd raise their booty up and all the water would come flying mm-hmm. down and drown you under there. And
so good.
You know, just playing Marco Polo. And
oh my gosh, till we were, I mean, just any experience I had in pool, same thing. We had a couple of different places and times. And anytime you're in with a group, man, you would Marco Polo it till...
Yeah. And there was a woman here, and she and her daughter, I remember they would come up and they would have matching bathing suits and cover ups. And, you know, and Jennifer looked like a little American Girl doll. And I made the comment to somebody on this, as we're going through a lot of these memories on Facebook, I said, it's the third child. I said, they would walk in looking, you know, like they're off the runway. And I'm the third child, and I'm not even sure that my flip-flops matched.
And your suit has been worn many times before, probably. Yeah. Yep. That's
no old ratty t-shirt over it in case I got sunburned, and, you know.
Hair up in a weird little ponytail thing.
Yeah. It was not the American Girl.
I know. Oh, but you had a good time. It didn't matter. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But it's funny just going back to the summers of your childhood, and we talk about camp a lot, but even just, you know, just
your neighborhood
went on in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm afraid that's becoming a lost art. I don't know. Just because so many kids are inside now, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure it still happens in many places. I'm sure that there's neighborhoods and pockets. You know, kids on their bikes and running down to each other. I'm sure that still happens. I know that it also took a really big hit, you know, after the '80s, because the whole stranger danger, like the whole parents started to pay attention to their children.
Well, it was,
you know what I mean? Like it was more of a scary thing.
When it happened was when the Adam Walsh movie came out.
Yep. And Satanic Panic and all that happened.
But when that Adam Walsh movie came out,
it scared people.
ABC special or something. It was a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about terror that went through the United States. I mean, and that's when I remember my mom suddenly keeping very close tabs on me.
Yep.
You know, before it was, we just had the rain of the neighborhood and, you know, you'd hear people at, you know, about 5:30 or 6, moms all over the neighborhood start calling for people to come back home, out yelling, you know, and it was time for dinner. And we'd all run inside and we'd eat. And I mean, clean up after dinner was the worst.
It was the worst.
Because
it was like a death sentence.
Right.
You wanted to get back out.
I knew over at Jane Ellen's, a game of Kick the Can was about to start.
Exactly.
You know, and man, Kick the Can was the best ever.
So good.
So the entire neighborhood, we'd have it. We'd go at different places and be in different yards, and we'd all show up and play Kick the Can until well after dark. So,
I know. And I really think there are places that are still doing exactly that, and different little pockets of neighborhoods where, you know, I think it's changed in some ways and in some places, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, and is that all bad? You know, probably not. We probably should have been watched a little bit. You know, I had the run of the neighborhood. I don't remember that ever stopping until I think I was, by the time I was old enough where I wasn't really doing that. Right. You know, my friends were, you know, we weren't really running the neighborhood and playing that and sneaking on the neighbor's trampoline. Yeah. Oh, I always thought I was going to get in so much trouble. People I didn't even know. I didn't know them. They were down on my street, down in the middle of the street, had a trampoline in their backyard. We just walked up their driveway, whatever friend I was with, and we would just hope that, I don't know if they knew it. I had no idea. We would just jump on that trampoline.
They probably saw it and didn't care.
thought for sure we would get busted, but they didn't. Yeah, they either didn't care. And again, this was back pre-lawsuit, like pre-nobody.
Right, yeah. Yeah, back when we could live.
Even pools were not super. I mean, I would have never gone in a neighbor's pool without, and those are mostly, you know, fenced and all that. But still, like a trampoline, you were like, yeah, whatever. You know?
I do have a story in the midst of this conversation that I posted on Facebook about the pool and different people chiming in. And a girl from the hood, you know, from the hood.
West side. Okay.
Her name was Karen, and she was a year younger than me, but I mean, we would, you know, we were out biking all the time and doing all this stuff and playing together. She just lived on the street behind me, and we were back and forth at each other's house all the time, playing Barbies or whatever. And she was carrying a Barbie Corvette car. And I can't remember if it was mine or hers, but anyway, we were taking it back to somebody's house and she was carrying it and biking. And I don't, it hit her leg or it did something. And I mean, she wiped out bad. And so we were closer to her house. So I ran to her house to get help. And I'm just trying to tell her mom. And I'm little. I mean, we're both young.
Yes, yes. And your Barbie Corvette age.
The car hit her. Is what the car hit her leg.
Joni. Joni.
Well, listen,
mom came flying.
I will never forget the look on Miss Barbara's face. And she grabbed me and she was shaking me. She said, what car? What car? And then I was trying to explain, you know. I was trying to explain then it was just a Barbie car. But by that point, she was so panicked and run out the door.
Joni, you're an idiot.
And she got mad.
Oh, sure she did. I bet she did because you were already panicking. Oh my gosh, that is terrible.
I was scared to go back to her house for long.
I bet you were. I bet you were. That is awful.
Anyway.
Well, you didn't mean it. You weren't trying to be bad. You were just.
Oh, I just was bad.
You just came out wrong.
It just naughty.
You're naughty. No. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I do. I can still see the look on her face.
I'm sure.
Really, the realization of what you said. Or what she's thinking, you know.
Yeah, to you, it didn't. Yeah, you weren't computing that that's how she would take it. You know, obviously, she should know we had the Barbie Corvette car and we were playing with it. And
or hit her on the leg.
Yeah. Oh, those Barbie cars are so funny, too, because it's like Barbie's head is like completely out, like over the windshield. Like, yes. Like the scale is not quite right. And she's just like, her shoulders and head are out of the top of the windshield.
Are you old enough to remember like the Barbie blow up furniture?
No, I never had Barbies, but I had friends that had the Barbie.
I had Barbies. And no, there was this blow up furniture, but it may have been because I had older sisters.
For Barbie or for you size?
No, for Barbie. No.
Okay.
Barbie.
Okay. So yeah, that would be the late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Barbie blow up furniture. No, because when I was a little kid, so my dad is a designer, an architect. It was the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, born in 71, had this great, cool, modern on the inside, old home in the Central West End in St. Louis, which is a very old area, but the inside was all like modern and the trim was painted shiny black. And we only lived there till I was about three, but I have memories, but also we had blow up furniture, clear plastic. We had other furniture too. But it was the 60s, you know, and he actually was part of a big modern art furniture exhibit at the museum here in St. Louis. Kind of modern furniture. And I think it went on to New York. It toured. It was a touring. But anyway, all that is to say we had real blow up furniture.
Hilarious.
For us to sit on.
But I've seen real blow up furniture.
Yeah. It was clear and black. Like it wasn't called, you know, but it was chair. I mean, we had it for years out in like the attic and the basement. I think I blew them up in the attic when I made like a little space in my attic later in life to my own little.
You should have brought that to camp.
Well, oh, that would have been amazing. And it just packs down to nothing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm mad at you now.
I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. It was. I mean, I would like to say we probably didn't have it anymore, but we probably did. It was probably still up in that attic.
We had like bean bags and not downstairs, But upstairs, there were bean bags in the playroom and my room and Streety's room. I mean, there were just bean bags everywhere.
Yes, yes. It was very cool. It was the height of cool. That, and if you had a waterbed.
We had a secret room.
Oh.
I know. I loved it. It was actually, you had to go through Streety's closet and into like a little attic.
Kind of, a little attic space. Oh.
Then it went, there was a little hall and there was a little room back behind stuff.
Ooh, that, I would have totally like made that my own little.
We did.
Fort.
Yeah, you know, and we had the things hanging down, you know, the beads hanging down.
Oh my gosh. And the
bean bags.
Very cool. Yeah, your sister's being older. You got really into that whole like 70s adult vibe, you know, that's very, very cool. Well, I have watched a few shows and things that I wanted to tell people that I liked.
Okay.
Because again, it's just a flurry of exciting activities over here. So let's see, a couple shows that I have watched. There's one that is called American Manhunt, Osama Bin Laden. It's on Netflix. And is it a series? Is it a four part? I don't remember. I think it might just be one. It doesn't matter. We watched it in one night, I think. But yeah, it's just the whole, like a documentary all about the 10-year kind of pursuit and trying to get Osama bin Laden. And it was very interesting. It was kind of gives you a lot of perspectives from the intelligence community that worked on it, you know. And anyway, it kind of gave some of their viewpoints and interview with the guy that shot him. I mean, he was there giving his story and broke down the whole, but it was the whole 10 year and like what this guy had been doing. It was quite interesting. It was quite interesting. And Tim and I watched that. And then there was a little series that I found on Netflix as well. And it's new this year. I mean, I had no idea. It's just called Department Q. And I think there must be another season going to be coming out. It was thoroughly enjoyable. It's kind of about this little, it's a missing person police. It's in Scotland. So a bunch of good Scottish and kind of British Scottish actors and actresses. Very clever writing. Very much like some of our shows over here. I'm trying to think like what it would compare to, only it's better. I don't know. You know, we have all those crime that are kind of funny and the team works together and I can't really explain it, but very well written, had some twists and turns in the first season, like some things that you didn't see coming pretty quickly as it's unraveling and you're like, ooh, so it had my attention right away. And it was really enjoyable. Department Q, if you want to watch that. What else? Oh, I know. I just watched last night a doc. I'm kind of in a documentary era once again. Not my KKK era. That's done for now.
Oh, good.
Glad we've moved on from that. Okay. You have to listen to all our episodes back there to figure out what that means. There was a documentary called Nothing Left Unsaid, and it's Gloria Vanderbilt and Anderson Cooper, and this is on HBO Max. Because again, I'm fascinated with the Gilded Age and right. on. So obviously, Gloria Vanderbilt is really the last of the quote Vanderbilt money kind of. Excuse me. And her son is Anderson Cooper, the reporter guy on CNN. I think he's still on CNN. Anyway, so they did this, they had written a book together, but then they just did this documentary and it was just interesting. And the reason I got onto that was because I just finished reading the book he co-wrote, Anderson Cooper co-wrote with Catherine Howe, Vanderbilt, The Rise and Fall of an American Dynasty. And it was really good. I mean, again, it's just fascinating to me, you know, Cornelius Vanderbilt, the first guy who's, you know, they nicknamed the Commodore, hence the Vanderbilt Commodores at Vanderbilt University, because he founded that, which is so bizarre because he was East Coast. And
who I like to call the Commodorks when we play them.
We do. We do. We do call them that. But, you know, he made the fortune in transportation and then later they got into, you know, railroads, but it was shipping and all that. And at one point, you know, in his kind of prime of building the his fortune, he owned $1 out of every 20 in the United States.
Wow.
Like, were his.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a vast, vast fortune. And it goes through all the generations. And I mean, by the third generation, it's pretty much, it, you know, three or four, by Gloria, she didn't have any. I mean, it was gone. It was gone. People thought she was this big Vanderbilt heir. And it's like,
There's nothing.
There's left. Nothing. There's nothing left. Now there's other families and other branches of it, but the sons, you know, immediately just the lavish.
You pay for the lavish lifestyle and then it becomes someone else's.
And I mean, yeah, none of them could keep up those homes,
yeah.
Right? They're building up in Newport, which I've got to get to Newport. It's big bucket list, but there's a big, again, the country home in Newport, Rhode Island, the Breakers is the big, I believe that was Alice Vanderbilt's, you know, and this is the getaway to the country. I mean, it just beyond anything, you know, you could ever imagine. And the balls and the coming out and the Astors. There's another book by about the Astors that I think I'm going to read next. You know, their list of 400, which was this list of 400 people in society that were accepted society. And if you weren't on that list of 400, you know, you weren't in. And then the Vanderbilts come along and they're new money. And then, you know, the competition between the women. Actually, the series, The Gilded Age, which I think I've talked about on here. I don't know if I have or not. It's The Gilded Age, and it has a third season coming out. I think it's already done too. And I believe it's on HBO. It's by the same guy that did Downton Abbey, Julian Fellowes. So it's really well done. You know, shows the upstairs and the downstairs, the servants, their stories. You know, it's so good. But it is based, their names are not Vanderbilt in the thing. They are the Russells, I believe. But their story is, I mean, and when I read the book, I was like, oh, this is based. Yeah, she's totally supposed to be Alva Vanderbilt. Kind of her scratching to get into society and who's, and then there was a whole battle of the different opera houses. Cause the I think it was the American Opera House, the original one where again, Mrs. Astor reigned, you know, and all the people who were people went, but there were never enough boxes. You only got a box if you were deemed, you know, a whole like,
yes,
massive snobbery, massive, like excluding people.
Right. Yeah.
And so this group of new money decided to start a new opera house, the Metropolitan, which is now the Metropolitan Opera, which we have. And it was a big scandal and a big dividing, and people had to pick sides, like who's supporting that opera house and who's supporting this. I mean, it all really happened. And it's actually nuts, and the balls and the amount just spent on flowers. I mean, these people were crazy, right. But it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So all that is to say, that got me on the road to reading the Vanderbilts and then watching that little documentary about Gloria Vanderbilt, who, you know, as most Gen X girls remember her for what, Joni?
Oh, for the clothing.
The jeans, yep. The Gloria Vanderbilt, the jeans.
I started to say jeans, but then I had a Gloria Vanderbilt sweater and all that I thought was my...
Oh, you were it. You guys, you were, yeah, but she started with, she was the first one to do
swan.
The designer jean with the swan. And you know what's interesting? Here's another tidbit I put together. I'm so fascinated. So in the book, he goes through the whole Vanderbilt, you know, story down the line of his, you know, to his mom. And apparently too, she was part, I mean, talk about these people are dysfunctional.
Yeah.
She at the age of 9 was part of a massive custody battle between her mother and her aunt and her grandmother. It was the trial of the century in the 30s. Like it was, you know, have you heard Poor Little Rich Girl?
Yes.
That's her.
Okay.
That's her. So that story of Poor Little Rich Girl, she's this little heiress, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they were fighting for custody because her real mom, who's also named Gloria, really wasn't capable. I mean, she wasn't doing a very good job. But then her aunt, you know, so she was in this limelight over this craziness. It's just absolutely nuts. Anyway, you fast forward. So you go through all that. You go through, she was married, I don't know how many times, of course, but, and then you get to like the 60s in New York.
Yeah.
Like, and the 70s where you've got, Studio 54, like she's all that eight, you know, and in the 60s, she was very, there was, of course, if you know about kind of New York society, Truman Capote at this time, author Truman Capote was a big,
yep,
big deal. He had, you know, he wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's, he wrote In Cold Blood, were his two most famous things, but he was kind of this society figure, very much like Ward McAllister was for Mrs. Astor, this kind of sort of eccentric, I don't know really how else to explain him, but just loved to gossip and loved to do all this. And he had his group of society ladies that he, you know, hung around with and lunched with and gossiped with and went on their yachts and all this kind of stuff. And he called them his swans. There's a show about that.
Okay.
And I don't know what it's on. I believe it's called Swans.
Okay.
And it's about them and Truman Capote, and Gloria was in that group of people. And she chose that swan. And I don't know. It's fat, you guys. I could go on forever. It's fascinating. None of you all needed to know all that, but I needed to share. So that's what I've read and watched. And I have another one, but it's going to be in my top three. So you can't hear about it right
okay.
now. I have a quick update on my presidential platform.
Okay.
We haven't discussed this for a while. This is not a new plank on the platform. This is just reinforcing one of my very first planks. As you all know, if I'm run for president, these are the things that I will promise to do for this country. And of course, one of the things that I said was to get rid of the electric blow dryer, hand dryers in bathrooms. Okay. I gave all kinds of reasons. They don't work. They're terrible. They're loud. You know, little kids are like looking up them, getting blasted. It's not
good. What she wants is that roll down fabric that would just keep coming down. It would just roll back up, you know, and you just pull it down.
I don't want that. I just want paper towels. And to my point, I would like to just put this out as a further, another piece of evidence, a piece of supporting documentation for this plank on my platform. If you ever, as you go into, you know where you will never see the electric blow dry machines?
Where?
Hospitals and doctor's offices.
Because
they're not sanitary.
Oh, they're not sanitary.
So the doctor's offices and the medical buildings and the hospital buildings and all the places that are the medically science people. Remember how we're supposed to do the science?
And in your culinary kitchens, you will always have single use.
Okay. So all the people that are sciencey that are telling us, you know, how we should science things, they will not have those blowy dry things. So I put that as further evidence for their destruction.
All right. I would like you to ban the meteorologist from saying, what was it?
Oh, yeah, maybe I will. I could do that. Mm-hmm. No nonsensical descriptive, no descriptive weather words.
Yeah.
Only fact, only like descriptive, like how many inches and how many miles per hour and what our temperature is, right? Like things that are measurable, okay? No editorializing on our weather terms. Okay, I'll do that. I'll put that in there.
You appreciate that.
I'll make you, what do you want to be in the cabinet?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you're going to do this with me. I'm doing it by myself.
I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe event planner.
No, that's not in the cabinet position.
It is if you make it one.
The secretary of event planning.
Secretary of event planning. Secretary.
Okay. I'm the president. I can do what I want.
You can do what you want.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Fine. That's fine. Secretary of.
Going to plan. We're going to go on, you know, Air Force One. That's what my plan is.
Yeah. We all have to do a bunch of trips to places like Eureka Springs.
We may not be getting elected now.
Air Force One is landing in Eureka Springs. What's going on? Don't mind us. Just going to the passion play.
Can you imagine the Secret Service?
Oh, having to scan everyone going in there. Oh my gosh, it'd be so great. Oh, I'd love it. Okay, do you have anything else, or are you ready to give your wonderful recipe to us today?
Let me pull my wonderful.
I'm just sitting here waiting with bated breath. I'm excited.
Well, I just decided since it's summer and, you know, there's a lot of grilling out, and I mean, there's not big recipes for grilling out, you know, season your meat and slap it on the grill. I mean,
but the sides, but you know, we need sides.
Sides, but the sides. So this is a gnocchi salad.
Oh, I love gnocchi.
Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know what gnocchi is, it is a potato pasta. Hang on. I'm losing my stuff here. Oh, no.
You don't have it, do you?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So here's what you need.
Okay.
All right. You're going to need a pound of gnocchi, whether it's fresh or frozen. I just, you know, look, I just get mine out of the grocery store, and it's in a vacuum sealed bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I get mine. Okay. And then you need 3 tablespoons of olive oil and half a cup of finely chopped bacon. Well, don't just go about four. I would do about 4 or 5 slices of bacon.
Okay.
Right. You need a clove of garlic, and you're going to mince that. You need 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 1 tablespoon of sliced fresh basil. Basil.
Oh, I literally was like, I got to ask her about
Monday.
That.
It's Monday. No.
Put a slice of bagel in there. Okay.
And the way you want to do that is just roll your basil up. Like it's called a chiffonade. Yeah, that cut. Mm-hmm. And once you roll it up, and then you just go and slice it, and you have these big ribbony.
Oh, okay. You want those pretty ribbony. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Not the cross way. You want to go the long way.
I would go the long way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Ribbony cuts there. 2 teaspoons of chopped fresh oregano, and 1/2 cup of olives that you are going to half lengthwise.
Okay. Pitted, the ones without the pits, just get the regular. You want green or what do you? I would put green. Black olives are yucky. Do green.
I don't like black olives.
Okay, so. I don't either. They taste like metal tin can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then you need the mozzarella balls, the fresh mozzarella balls.
Oh my gosh, this is sounding really good.
Yeah, 1/2 cup of those, and you're going to half those.
Yum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then here's what you're really going to love is 1/2 cup of finely chopped artichoke hearts.
No, this is my taste palette. Like this is right.
I knew you'd love this one.
This is very good.
All right. 1/2 cup of quartered pepperonis, 1/2 cup of thinly sliced salami, and 1/4 cup of finely chopped sun-dried tomatoes.
Okay. So this is going to be like a, almost like an antipasta salad, like an Italian salad.
There you go.
Tim would like this too. Okay.
All right. So just go ahead and boil some water and cook your gnocchi for about, you just want it, they're going to float, and it's just going to take about 1 to 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then take a slotted spoon, transfer all that to just a paper towel lined baking sheet.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to get dry there. And I'll tell you why in a second. So then you are going to cook your bacon and just get it till it's good and crispy, the fat's rendered out, and then transfer that to a plate, and then you're going to crumble it for later.
Let that cool and make it crispy. Bake. It can't be... Yeah.
No. You don't want it...
Chewy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be crispy. So, all right, leave your fat, though, in that skillet. You're using that fat.
Okay.
And you are going to take your gnocchi and put it back in the bacon grease there and cook that until it is... golden brown, and it starts to kind of, I mean, you don't want it crispy,
but it almost gets that caramelized. It gets like a little bit of a browned.
Yes. Yeah.
You like pot stickers do, kind of. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that little, this sounds so good.
About 3 or 4 minutes. And then you let that cool. And then you want to get a large bowl. You're going to make your sauce, but you want a large bowl because you're going to add everything back into your large bowl.
Okay.
Okay. So whisk together your garlic, your vinegar, your basil, your oregano, salt, and your 3 tablespoons of olive oil. Then you're going to add the gnocchi, the olives, the mozzarella, the artichokes, pepperoni, salami, tomatoes, and mix it all up. And then you're going
to... You didn't say tomatoes before, but I was thinking to put tomatoes in there.
No, the sun-dried tomatoes.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, sun-dried.
I didn't hear sun-dried tomato. Oh my gosh. Okay. I missed that whole thing.
Sprinkle it with bacon. And there you have it.
Can we make that? I might make that for 4th of July.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds really good. And that's one, the two. It's just going to sit and get better.
Yep.
You know?
That gnocchi will start to absorb all those
flavors. 2 days, 3 days, that will just continue to be... So good. And that's like really hearty. Like that to me is a lunch, like with all that meat, that's
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, for a nice little lunch summer by the pool.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yep.
Instead of pimento cheese, maybe we could have gnocchi salad.
Right.
I will say two things that made me think of.
Okay.
If you want, first of all, I know you don't have a Trader Joe, but for people that do, I mean, Trader Joe at Joe's has a really good frozen gnocchi. They have a cauliflower gnocchi.
Oh.
And it's very good. Like,
it's much healthier.
Delicious. I mean, the potato's fine too, but, and they may have a regular. I know they have the cauliflower gnocchi. I've got it in my freezer right now. really good. So like if you want something easy, look in the frozen section. If you can't get the fresh, that they might have the frozen. And then I was thinking if you did want it a little bit lighter, like, cause I was thinking, you were saying all that. And I didn't hear you say sun-dried tomatoes, but I was thinking of like cutting in half those little cherub, the real sweet little small cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes that are sweet. Maybe take the meat out. Like, you know, if you wanted to, you could just not put the cold cuts in it. And add some of the tomato, the fresh tomatoes, and make it more like a salad if you didn't want the other.
But
I would recommend doing the other first to see how you feel about it.
I'm a big believer in taking a recipe and changing it however you want to change
it. Well, you can. That's what I'm saying. Like for some people, they might be going, because that to me sounds like a delicious meal. Like that sounds really good. But if you really wanted it just to be kind of more like a salad, like a little lighter, you can just adapt. I do like the artichoke hearts though in there. And then those, if you put those tomatoes in there with it and the gnocchi, bam, emerald.
Wow.
Bam.
Wow.
That's a really good one. That's going on the extra good list. Thank you. Okay. Is it time for my top three?
Top three.
I'm for your top three.
Okay. Excuse me. All right. Number one on my top three today is a new lemon lime juicer that I got off of Amazon. I will put the link on there. I've had that same old, in fact, I think it was my mother-in-law's. I think I stole it from her house. You know, the standard one that looks like a lemon and you pull it down. I've had that for forever. The paint's chipping off of it because my husband keeps putting it in the dishwasher. I digress. But this new one, I've seen different Instagrammy cookie people using it, and you might be seen it too. It like opens sideways, like a wedge kind of, and there's this plastic. Anyway, you put the half of the lemon or lime in there and you just squeeze it shut like that. And that bad boy does such a better job.
It is the job. Huh?
It does it. The other one, you know, it's like, even when I take the lemon or the lime out, I feel like there's still a lot in there.
I have the old glass juicer, you know, that you put.
Yeah, I have that too.
Yeah.
I have that too. And I like that. But if I'm just making it, like if I just need it for a drink or, you know what I mean? Like something like that. But this thing just, and it just squeezes everything out of that half of lemon. So it's very kind of a new design for our lemon juicer that we've had the same one since 1935. Anyway, that's on there. Oh, and then my second thing, I won't be having any link to it because I don't know where, I guess maybe, you know what? They probably got it on Amazon. All right, I'll try to find the link. is a new bird feeder that I got for my birthday from Avery and Joey. And it's so pretty. And I love bird feeders. And it's metal. It's kind of like a teardrop shape. And it's kind of a copper metal. So it's really pretty. And then in the center, there's a hole, like a space where the bird goes in. And, you know, you fill it and it fills like, I don't know how I'm explaining it. There's plastic on the sides. Yeah. So you could see the bird food. And then there's a hole in the middle with a little grate at the bottom in that. And the little birdie can go in there and eat. And it's really pretty. And it's hanging outside my window. And I love it. But you know what? I probably can find that find link. Because I bet you they got that on Amazon. Okay, my last thing is another show I watched. It was a four-part series. And it is on Lifetime, which I get on Hulu, so I don't know. And it was The Judd Family, Truth Be Told. And it's about the Judds, Joni. You got to watch it, and we got to discuss this.
Okay.
We got to discuss it.
Okay.
And it's all of them. It's Naomi, Winona, and Ashley. So it's her. It's a whole thing. You know, a lot of the history, a lot of about their family. Again, dysfunction. As we all know, and they've been very open about.
Oh, right. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like a big secret. They've been very open to her. Winona and her mother, you know, had difficult relationship at times and many things. And her mother struggled with mental health. And it goes all the way till she commits suicide. And they talk about that. And they, you know, but it's also the whole. I just love a biography documentary. I just think it's so fascinating, no matter who you are. I mean, I remember I watched one years ago when the Biography Channel first came out. We were down at Tim's house in Rolla and his parents because we didn't have cable. Yeah. And they had the Biography Channel. And I sat there and watched a whole thing about Boy George.
Yeah.
Do I care? No, but it was fascinating.
Yeah. I do. I love biographies.
I do too. So this is a four-part. I watched it all in one night, you know, kind of got down and just binged it out while Tim was out of town this week. And it was very interesting. And then also just hearing those songs. I mean, like, it's what fascinates me. I always want to know why people are the way they are. I probably could have been a psychiatrist or psychologist, except I don't like talking to people about their problems. But it's so fascinating about that. But it's also so fascinating when you are looking at the lives of particularly performers or musicians or celebrities that, you know, there's all this going on and all this heartache and all these different things on the one hand. And then on the other hand, there's just this sublime talent. And it's such a, it's almost like you have to have the one with the other. I don't know if that's true, but you know, just this.
I know you probably got to be a little crazy to make it in that industry.
I think that's true. I think that is, I think that's definitely true, but it's just like, just that level. What's the song that gets me every time? Well, I mean, there's several, but there's one, what is it that they sing? Their big famous song. Okay. Now it's totally gone from my brain. Oh, Love Will Build, Can Build a Bridge. I mean, I got chills right now just thinking about it.
I think the one that always comes to mind when I think the Judds is Mama, He's Crazy.
That was their first big hit. I love that song. Mm-hmm. I love Grandpa. I like Tell Me About the Good Old Days.
Grandpa. Yeah.
I love
That's probably my favorite one.
It's so good. Girls Night Out. I mean, they have such great songs. In fact, I got to get deeper. I've got many of their songs on my summer, on my country playlist and on my summer one. But anyway, and just seeing them perform, knowing the difficulty in their relationship and the last time they, you know, and seeing them perform Love Will Build a Bridge, you know, and she wrote that, Naomi, the mom, you know, wrote most of those songs. So, anyway, it's very, very good. You need to watch it so we can discuss.
Okay.
That's your homework. That's all I have for you to do this week.
Can
you?
I can do that after Tuesday.
Can you do that?
Through my little dinner party and then.
Okay. Yeah. Don't strain yourself now.
I'll try not to.
Don't stress yourself out watching the Judds. So, well, that's all I have to report from the beautiful city of St. Louis. So we will talk to you guys. Oh, again, happy Father's Day, guys. Father's Day is this coming Sunday. So when you hear this, it'll be Thursday, but the Father's Day weekend coming up. So happy Father's Day to all the dads. Hope you get to do something special with your people. You know, that's what it's all about. So, all right. Until next time, we'll see you soon. Goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Can never remember that you're pet. Like I have to think really hard about it.
Girl at Ron's workplace. I don't know why she was talking about it, but she was talking about my butt pellet today.
Who was?
Brianna, but she kept calling it a butt plug.
Oh my goodness. I just took a big drink of my iced coffee butt when you plug. Said that. Ew. No, we are not calling it that. Oh my goodness.